the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turns aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sits at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Great God of love, shed your love abroad in our hearts by the gift of your Holy Spirit. We confess that we go too long without desiring or experiencing your love, and pray that today would be a day when we pause and we cry out with the songwriter, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. We pray for your Holy Spirit, that this may be possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read again in Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We want to center our thoughts today around verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let's celebrate and commend the highest expression and experience of love. Let's do that today. Celebrate and commend the highest expression and experience of love. How do we do that? Well, we've been given a song to help us do that. A song of songs about the love of loves. And what is that love? Well, obviously, on the face of it, this song is about the love between a husband and a wife, the highest form of natural love. But that's only what's on the face of this song, because as in the rest of Scripture, that love between a man and a woman is but a stepping stone. It's a help towards the highest love, that between God and his people. How do we know that this song is about that? That there is something more than just what's on the surface? Well, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the many arguments from Scripture to persuade us that this song is indeed much more than a song of human love. But I'd like to suggest another line of evidence to you today, and that is how the original readers of this song read it, or how the original singers sang it. Because this song was recommended by the rabbis to be read or chanted on the first day of the Passover. And that tradition has continued throughout the centuries amongst the Jews, even to this day. Let me just give you a couple of quotations from Jewish teachers, both from the distant and the more recent past. One, for example, says, "The Song of Solomon embodies the entire Torah, the story of the exile in Egypt, and the redemption of Israel from there. By reading it, we are enhancing and embracing the commandment to recount the story of the Exodus." Another put it like this: "Another reason for reading the Song of Solomon is that Passover is a time of love between God and Israel, who entered into a covenant and became betrothed to him through the Exodus from Egypt." And another put it like this: "As the Passover marks the time when our romance with God officially began, the sages chose this song to celebrate God's love for his people." A beautiful language, and yet we have surely an even greater reason, an even greater redemption, an even newer covenant, and therefore should sing this song with even more gusto, with even more volume, with even more affection than the Jews of old or even of recent days have done. So when we come to, for example, this verse, what we have here in verse 2 surely is the cry of not just the Jewish heart, but even more the Christian heart, that God in Christ would kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. We want to look today at the type of kisses that are in view here, and then secondly at the timing of the kisses. First of all, the types. I think first of all it's pretty obvious these are loving kisses that are in view here, because you look at the second part of that verse, "Your love is better than wine." He's clearly thinking about love when he says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And there are many kinds of kisses that express varying degrees of love. There might be kisses between parents and children, between siblings, between friends, between a husband and a wife. But this is the most loving kisses imaginable, because speaking of the kisses of God towards people like us. So we're asking not just for cold, formal kisses, habitual kisses, unthinking kisses. We're asking for God to kiss us with love, with affection, with passion, with emotion. So we're looking here for loving kisses, to have God's love expressed towards us and experienced by us. Let him kiss us with loving kisses. These kisses, though, secondly, are spiritual. Obviously, they are not physical. It's not bringing human flesh into contact with human flesh. Rather, this is spirit-to-spirit kissing. God's spirit and our spirit. It's heart-to-heart kissing. The Apostle Paul speaks of God's love being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And so ultimately we are asking here for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, or maybe better put, to manifest himself in our lives, to make himself evident in our lives by giving us a deep sense of God's love toward us. Let him kiss us with spiritual kisses from the depths of his heart to the depths of ours, with his whole spirit to our whole spirit. Let him kiss us with spiritual kisses. Thirdly, these are desired kisses. And that's very clear. It's a petition, isn't it? Let him. This is something this person really wants. It's the first request of this song. It's right up front. Whatever else this singer, this songwriter wants, she wants to be kissed. She has this strong desire and passion. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She's asking for it, in other words. And therefore, we can say she really values these kisses. She really values them, and therefore she really wants them. And that's the kind of desire that is met with a yes. Does God give kisses when we don't want them? He may, but very rarely. Does God give kisses when we don't ask for them? He may, but not commonly. And therefore, here we are challenged to desire these kisses. When was the last time we prayed this prayer? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. When was the last time we prayed? Let your love be shed abroad in my heart. When was the last time we prayed that we might know the love of Christ which passes knowing? In other words, when was the last time we desired with this kind of desire? Isn't it incredible that such an experience could be available and we don't actually want it? We don't actually ask for it. Amongst all the other prayers that we go through day by day, that this one doesn't even appear on the list, never mind be number one. And therefore, may God use this even just to cultivate and create anew this desire for God's kisses. Fourthly, these are the best kisses we could possibly have. There are, as we've said, many kinds of kisses. In fact, in this culture, the location of the kiss express the intimacy of the kiss. So, for example, if somebody came towards you and kissed the ground, they would be expressing submission to you. They kissed your feet, that expressed obedience. They kissed your garment, that expressed reverence. They kissed your hand, that expressed loyalty. If they kissed your cheek, it expressed friendship. They kissed your mouth, that was the most intimate expression of love possible. This was the best kind of kiss. In other words, it was being wanted. And so we are asking here for God to give us the most intimate, personal, deepest expression of love imaginable. The best kind of kiss. That's why he says here, for your love is better than wine. Wine, of course, was in the Bible portrayed as a symbol of joy and gladness and happiness and celebration. And here, the songwriter is saying, give me something even more celebratory than that. Give me something that will make me even happier than wine will make me. This is, his kisses, unlike wine, can be enjoyed safely. They can be enjoyed without hesitation. They can be enjoyed without limitation. They can be enjoyed without a hangover, without any ill effects. These are not damaging but healing, health-giving kisses. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. Fifthly, these are undeserved kisses. That's clear as this chapter goes on and the songwriter begins to confess what she feels she looks like. She's been weathered, she's been worn out by the circumstances she's been in. She looks in the mirror and she can hardly look in the mirror. She's repulsed by what she sees. She's revolted by her appearance, by who she sees. And yet she prays, let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth. And it's implying, obviously, I don't deserve this. I don't merit this. When I look at myself and I look at him, his lips just don't seem to be a good fit for me. It might be something like, you know, the most beautiful supermodel in the world kissing the ugliest, most deformed person in the world. You know, that person who suffers with that kind of affliction of deformity or just very unattractive or diseased and racked with various debilitations. You know, they would look at the most beautiful person in the world and the thought, let them kiss me, wouldn't even cross their minds. Just like this, no, it doesn't, you don't even go there. But this songwriter goes there because they know God deals with his people not as they deserve. He knows the history of Israel. He knows that God has kissed Israel, a nation that had nothing in them to attract him. And knowing his Old Testament, knowing the kinds of people God kisses, she can pray this prayer, let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth. It's not a demand. It's not, I've earned this, I deserve this. But it's a plea based on mercy. Let him deal with me not as I deserve. Let him love me not in a way that I have merited at all. I deserve his fist and I get his lips. I deserve his anger and I get his love. I deserve his aggression and I get his affection. I deserve his curse and I get his kiss. This is undeserved love. These are undeserved kisses. And these are multiple kisses, sixthly. It's plural, isn't it? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's more than one. It's not a one-off. These are kisses that come one after another. Being kissed once is, in a way, an encouragement to seek further kisses. And you can really read the Bible as just a long series of kisses of God to his people. This is the normal way that God kisses his people. As we've said earlier, it's by the Holy Spirit being shed abroad in our heart. But the Holy Spirit uses words. He doesn't tend to just come with a feeling. He doesn't just come with an overpowering emotion. Generally speaking, the Holy Spirit uses words. He picks up these black words on white pages, and he, by the Spirit, sheds God's love abroad in our hearts. And so, you know, as we read our Bibles each day, really, our first prayer should be as we open it, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him transform these words into experiences of his love. And we can pray all we like, let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth, but if we actually don't read his word, it isn't going to happen. And so view each chapter as a kiss. View each turn of God's providence as a kiss. View each psalm as a kiss. View each miracle as a kiss. View each lesson as a kiss. View each letter as a kiss. View this whole Bible as multiple kisses from Christ to his church. So just pause to ponder the kinds of kisses, the kinds of lips that God comes to us with. And the desire here is for kisses that are loving, that are valuable, that are spiritual. The best kind of kisses, undeserved kisses, and multiple kisses. Not satisfied with just one or two. But let him keep kissing me, kissing me, kissing me. I mean, who goes to their wife or husband and says, I've had enough kisses today, thanks. You know, maybe next week. Or, you know, I think we've done our dose for the year. We don't do that. Like, every kiss makes you want more. So it is with this. But when does God kiss us? What about the timing of these kisses? The first kiss, let's pause and think about that. There is a kiss of life when God comes into our lives for the first time. A kiss of life which doesn't just turn a frog into a prince, but that turns an ugly, dead, dying, decaying sinner into a saved and sanctified saint in a moment. What a kiss that is. And for some of us, that kiss might be very memorable. We may be able to look back on a time in our life when it was so evidently clear that God was invading our hearts with his love. And when I say invading, we mustn't think of this as a forced love. God makes us willing in the day of his power. He acts persuasively. He acts so that our consent is full to these kisses. And so for some of us, we remember our first kiss, the first time God kissed us alive. We'll never forget it. When we tasted the love of God for the first time in our lives. Others of us here, though, it may not have been a memorable one-off occasion where we just felt, as it were, God passionately embracing us and loving us for the first time. God has different ways to kiss people alive, to give us the kiss of life. And in some cases, it can be a very gentle brush of his lips. Almost undetectable. So gentle that you can't put your finger on one point in time. But you know you love him. And you know he loves you. And you know he's kissed you. And you know you've kissed him back. But you can't quite remember when it was. You can't figure out when it began. But it began. It began. There was a day when you were dead and there was a day you were alive. And what made the difference was the kiss of God. That's the key to your whole spiritual life. So there's a first kiss. There are also providential kisses. So you come alive, God kisses you into life, and you start living, and you start sensing God's kisses in your life, even when things have not changed in your life. For example, you're still doing the same job, you're still earning the same money, you're still living with the same people, you're living in the same place, but you see his love everywhere now. You don't see the things you have and the people in your life and the good things of life. You don't see them anymore as something you have earned or deserved or merited or something you're entitled to. No, now you begin to see these as God's kisses in your life, as expressions of his love towards you. And so things you looked at before and it gave you no spiritual profit or benefit at all, you now look at it and you see them covered in God's kisses. And everything you get and everything you gain from then on, you by faith, you see God's lips in it and in them and in him and in her, whether it's our children or our wife or our husband or our church or whatever. We see God's kisses in his multiple providences in our lives. Another time we see or sense God's kisses is when we're going into battle. So become a Christian, we begin to see God's providence and his love in it, and then God calls us to go to battle for him. He calls us to do something difficult. He calls us to war. And it's incredibly intimidating. It's somebody we've got to witness. It's a service we've got to render. It's a calling now we've got to pursue. He's calling us to go into battle. And you can maybe remember some of the old footage you've seen of soldiers going off, say, to the Second World War, or even more recently in some of the more recent wars in the Middle East and things like that. You see people at airports, at ports, and they're sending off their loved ones to battle, and they are kissing them with a passion that they have not kissed them with for a long time, maybe with more love than they've ever done before. And they want them to go off knowing they are loved as they go into battle. And God does that for us as well. I'm sure many of us here can look back on times in our lives when God called us to battle. He said, you're going to war. You're going to do a difficult task. I'm calling you to this place or this responsibility. And it seemed like impossible to you. But with the call to battle, he gave you a kiss, a farewell kiss. He sent you off with a heart full of his love. He came to you with an extra dose of love so that you are sent away energized and empowered with an unforgettable kiss, so that no matter how dark that future looked and how dark it was, that memory, that experience was with you. And it will be with you too, whatever lies ahead of you. There's a going into battle kiss. And then there's a congratulations kiss. There's the return from battle kiss, as it were. You know, we're told that Christ recognizes even a cup of cold water given in his name. He sees it. He notices it. He values it. He appreciates it. He honors it. He rewards it. And so we, when we have rendered service, when we have witnessed a witness, when we have battled for the Lord, he will often come and again pour his love into our hearts. And remind us of how much he values us, how much he appreciates us, how much he wants us to know. His eye is upon us. His heart is upon us as well. Congratulations. But there are also, what would we call them, returning home kisses, prodigal kisses. You think of the prodigal son who wandered, who went far away. He came back. How did his father respond? He fell on his neck and he kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him. Welcome home, wanderer. And we all wander. Maybe some of you have wandered. It's easy to do in the midst of a busy seminary semester. We drift. We may not be in a far country, but we're not in God's country, as it were. We may not be in a pigsty, but we're not, as it were, in the bedroom. We're not in the center of God's love. And be assured there's a welcome waiting you. When you turn by God's grace and repent and seek the healing of your backsliding, you can be assured that he will welcome you with kisses of love, as the prodigal son's father welcomed him. Welcome home is waiting. There's returning home kisses. There are comforting kisses. Times when we are in great distress. You might think of when we're suffering, say, with bereavement. We've lost a loved one. We've maybe lost the love of our life. Or maybe a relationship has broken up and we feel so empty. We feel such a painful wound in the depths of our souls. And maybe human beings have wounded you. When that happens, God so often comes with his healing balm and that takes the deepest wound as an opportunity to pour in divine love. And to bind up the broken heart and to comfort the grieving soul. Many of God's people will tell you that some of the greatest experiences of God's love they've ever had were in the midst of persecution, say, or in the midst of suffering, or even when they've lost the love of their life to death. I remember there was a lady in one of my congregations in Scotland who lost her husband after a long illness. He had a beautiful, long marriage, Christian marriage, and she found it very hard watching him suffer and eventually die, and I expected her to be just in pieces, just totally broken. And we went through the funeral, and a couple of hours later, I went back to see her at her home just to see how she was doing, and everyone had left. And she was beaming. I can see her face right here. She's now in glory herself, but I can see her face right now. Just unbelievable joy. And I was like, what's going on here? And she said she'd been to her husband's grave when everyone had left. And she said, I looked around. I made sure no one was looking. That's quite easy in the Isle of Lewis. And she said, I danced round the grave. I mean, she's like 75. I didn't know how do you react to that? Said, David, I have never been so happy in all my life. I was overwhelmed with the love of God, especially as she thought of where her husband was and of how much of Christ's love he was now enjoying. Comforting kisses. But there's also a last kiss. You know, if any of you have lost loved ones, you'll remember that. The last kiss you gave them, as you kissed them into eternity. And God kisses us into eternity. It might be that all through life, you only get the odd kiss, momentary, brief kisses from Christ. Just oh, too brief experiences of his love. I've known many people like that. Godly people, but just always, just never quite fully embracing with assurance the love of God. And then on their deathbed, it's like God pours heaven out on them. He keeps his best wine till last. And he gives them an experience of his love unlike anything they have ever had throughout their whole life. He gives them a last kiss. He kisses them into eternity so that their last moments here are the fulfillment of this verse in an unprecedented way. And of course, lastly, there are eternal kisses. It's not like he gives you that last kiss and then into the dark. It's that last kiss and then, as it were, into the very center of his love. Into a celebration of his love that puts every other kiss, it just makes him like little pecks in the cheek. Unending expressions and experience of Christ's love. With no gap, with no pause, with no interruption, with no intermission. Eternal kisses. And that will eventually be physical as well. It won't just be soul to soul, but in the new heavens, in the new earth, with our new bodies, glorified bodies, we're going to have abilities to receive and experience the love of God physically and spiritually in unimaginable ways. And will it end this prayer? I think it'll actually make it even more prominent, because our experience of that love and glory will say more, more, more. Not that we're unsatisfied, but that the satisfaction just makes you crave more and more of this love. We will be celebrating this love in ways that will make the Song of Solomon just like a common love song. So what is our response to this? I'm sure you can think of many other ways to characterize these kisses, and you can think of many other occasions where you would receive these kisses. But let's just end with asking this question: how do we respond? Surely we hear the words of Psalm 2, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. If this is the expression of our desire for his kisses, Psalm 2, in a way, is enabling us to see the Son's desire for our kisses, expressed in his command, his inspired command, kiss the Son. He's saying, kiss me, love me, respond to my love with more love. And I don't know if any of you saw the footage in the last couple of days of the Pope. If you haven't seen it, just Google Pope ring kissing debacle, something like that. Because there's a lineup of people waiting to kiss the Pope. You know, he puts his hands out and they all do this. For some reason or other, at one point, for about 20 or 30 people, he starts pulling his hand back. It's so awkward. It's hideous, actually. The people are just totally distressed. You know, they bow down and he pulls his hands back. Won't let them kiss him. Christ will never pull his hands back. And he'll never pull his heart back. When we want to kiss him, he will be arms open, arms wide. And he'll be saying, let him, let her kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Not just in our rings, on his ring, in his heart. Let's pray.